It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Onwine.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Igniting Change. Oh, we're so excited because this is the 17th of April, which means for all of you in West Virginia, this is your last day to register to vote for the May 8th primary. Did you hear me? Again, West Virginia, it is your last day to register to vote for the your May 8th primary. I want to make sure that you do it. Oh, welcome to Igniting Change. This is our show for today. We're going to be talking about Trump's attack on the poor. And we're going to be talking about why it is so critical in this day and age that we have a poor people's campaign. We're going to be talking about the Farm Bill and the threat that it is confronting for communities that are rural and for farmers out there. We're going to talk about nutritional assistance and the threats. We got so much to talk about, so I'm really, really glad. But before I get into my show, I just want to remind you that you can always follow me on Twitter at Barb73. Oh, we've been dropping some knowledge. We got so much to talk about. And between the shows, we've been doing all kinds of other campaigns, which praise me to Starbucks. Hey, Starbucks, we see you. We saw what happened in Philadelphia, but it's not the first incident. There's been too many of these incidents all over the country of African Americans being treated unfairly by your stores. So we want to say to everybody out there that, yes, Starbucks, you better do better. You better get it together because we demand respect. Pay those brothers that you arrested unlawfully. Come up with a national policy that makes it clear that you're going to fire people who engage in these racially discriminatory practices and to make certain that people know if they can wait or not and apply it fairly to people of all races. We want to make sure that you create a fund so that you help all the Black Lives Matters groups and all the organizations out there who fight against police brutality, which you helped to instigate with this incident. We demand that there be justice, that there be some recompense. We don't want an apology. An apology is not good enough. We demand change. We demand that you take real action. So listen to us, Starbucks. We're not playing. I also want to give a shout out to my friend Roland Martin. Uh-oh, Roland. We saw it. We saw it on the Twitter. We saw your tweet September 4th, 2018. Uh-oh, what's coming, Roland? You're going to have to come on my show and tell everybody about it because we're excited. We can't wait. And we're just so happy to hear that you'll be back. We also want to say to New York City, thank you for pulling down that statue of Dr. J. Marion Sims. Many people don't know about this brutal criminal, Dr. J. Marion Sims. Everything that you know of that's called gynecology comes from his torturing Black women, because he would take Black women and would use their bodies, their slave bodies, to actually find out and to explore and experiment on. And it was torture. The women were crying. They were asking for protection from the state, and nobody gave them anything but hell. So we want to say to the state of New York, thank you for taking down that statue to that criminal. We also want to say, replace it with a Black women's statue. Give credit to the Black women who have made such a difference in this country and helped to build it alongside Black men. Do right by us. I also want to, you know, give a word of shout out before I get into my show to my family. My sisters, Dorothyette Cole, Sharon Jackson, Joyce Ishmael, who were here with me the last week, to my brothers, Alfred Arnwine, to Adonis Arnwine, to my brother Marvin Ford, to Naverica Ford, to all of you who came to be part of my mother's 87th birthday belated party. Thank you so much. We had such a great time, and I just want to, you know, give some love out, and I hope my audience will understand why I got to give some family love. Well, we have two amazing guests with us today to talk about Trump's new attack on the poor, rural communities, and small farmers. Today's show is focusing on the new executive order that was issued last Tuesday by President Trump on April 10th, which seeks to impose work requirements for recipients of public assistance. He also made an address that same week talking about drug testing, and that he wants to impose mandatory drug testing. And we can talk about how that is such a stupid and wasteful idea based on past studies. We also know that with this new draft farm bill that came out of the farm committee, that they are out of the agriculture committee, that they are proposing to cut $350 million in assistance to programs which help rural communities and small farmers. So our guests today are two of the leading experts in the nation on these issues. One is the remarkable Rudy Arredondo. Welcome, Rudy. This is your first time to your show. He is the founder and president and CEO of the National Latino Farmers and Ranchers Trade Associations. Welcome, Rudy, to Igniting Change.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara. Appreciate your invitation and look forward to, providing some information with regard to this incredibly regressive, farm bill that was put out by the House Agriculture Committee.
Yes.
Republican bill. Okay.
Yes, it's mainly a GOP bill. That's right.
Yes, the House Agriculture Committee Democrats are not happy with this because it cuts $1.3 billion out of the conservation,
Woo!
Regional conservation partnership programs, which, you know, some of our farmers are part of in terms of retiring the land and providing some much needed, to try to rebuild the soil, et cetera.
I can't wait for us to have an opportunity to talk more about that. I also wanted to welcome Joe Siegel back to Igniting Change. All of our people know that Joel is the executive director of the North Carolina Climate Change Coalition, and he is a leading voice for the North Carolina Poor People's Campaign. Welcome, Joel Siegel.
Barbara Arnwine.
Hey.
You tell your mother that Joel Siegel sends his love to your mom. My mother is also 87, by the way.
Yes. Oh, good.
And I know your mother. Your mother, I would consider to be the embodiment of what love is. And you can feel it from her spirit as well as your brother and your family. But I also want to tell your audience, I really thought about this and I believe in this. I think your modern Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, and there's nobody like you. I don't have anyone like you across the country. There's great activists across the country, but in terms of what you do in the grassroots and Congress on radio and your commitment there, I'm just so proud of you. I just hope that people really appreciate who you are, unlike the rest of us activists. But I also want to tell you that I happen to be on the line with one of my closest friends and brothers,
Yes.
Leonardo, who in my opinion, is the leading activist for African-American and Latino farmers, not only in the nation, in the world. And without him being in Washington, D.C., there are some great people there, but he's just an amazing person. But I'm very interested in today's show, especially talk about the work requirements, which are, first of all, impossible to even do.
And right.
It's just cynical racism. It's just a typical
right.
way to win more votes from their white nationalist base.
Yeah, just throwing more red meat, you know, to, you know, white haters, which we've seen too much of over the last year. I want to ask you, Rudy, if you could tell people, a lot of people don't know that the Department of Agriculture administers food stamps. They don't know that the Department of Agriculture is responsible for all our fire, you know, protection that comes out of, you know, around the country. They don't know that the Department of Agriculture, you know, covers, you know, so many bases. Tell people what is happening with this proposed farm bill and what people need to know. You know, let's get started with the farm bill, and then we'll, in the next segment, we'll talk more about it. But let's use the next 3 minutes to tell people more about the farm bill.
Okay, the farm bill is a bill that it's a $900 billion.
$900 billion.
Now, 80% of that those funds are food and nutrition programs, WIC, SNAP, and all the food assistance that, you know, the elderly, the young, the mothers, and women, infants, and children, all comes out of that. And that's 80% of that $900 billion.
Wow.
Okay? So few people, including myself, I mean, you know, I haven't been involved, even though I've done agriculture all my life, but not to the degree that I've had to learn in order to be able to represent the 225,000 farmers and ranchers that our organization now represents throughout the country.
Wow.
So, you know, we are extremely concerned about the, you know, this work requirement, because how can you possibly require people to work in those areas in which there's no work?
Right. That's so bizarre.
And
go ahead.
One of the things that we have concerns about is that you have people who have minimal amount of resources to go chasing jobs that are not there, simply to fill out a form that says, okay, I went out looking for work. There are none out there. In rural America, the only economic engine that exists is agriculture. Okay? But most of the people that we represent and that are out there are mostly family farmers. We are our own families, or the people who plant and harvest, for the most part. Some of them may have maybe a couple of, maybe they'll hire some hands, but usually it's only during harvest season, and even that is you know, sometimes hard to get. So that you're talking about a minimal amount of jobs, and those, the jobs that are out there are, for the most part, taken because they're inherited, you know.
Right.
And on.
So, Rudy, hold that thought, because we're going to be right back, because this is Igniting Change.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOR and 95.9 FM.
Good afternoon. This WOL traffic and weather update brought to you by unbound.org. On 295 northbound Pennsylvania Avenue to East Capitol Street, southbound 295, same stretch, same delay, East Capitol Street to Pennsylvania Avenue. It's also pretty slow right now. Westbound on the freeway after the 3rd Street Tunnel, roadwork in the right lane. Interloop after University Boulevard, it was an accident. Two right lanes are closed, delays from Georgia Avenue. Outer loop at Richie Marlboro Road, the accident activity there cleared away. Everything is open. You can be the difference between a child continuing their dream of education or leaving it behind. Help make the future brighter for one child at unbound.org. Now your WOL weather forecast for today. Cloudy, a high near 50 degrees, partly cloudy overnight tonight, down to 38. Tomorrow, a sunny day, and a high near 64 degrees. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM WOL, where information is power.
Ah, welcome back to Igniting Change. Oh, yes, we're getting up and we're standing up for our rights. And we're not taking any mess, because it's time for change in this country. It's our time. And the only way we're going to make it our time is that we get out there and we register and we vote. So, West Virginia, don't forget, today is your deadline to register to vote for the May 8th primary. You have a May 8th primary. Your early voting starts on April the 25th. Get out there and make a difference. Tell all your friends. Spread the word. If you're in Virginia, if you're in Maryland, if you're in Illinois, if you're listening to me from California this morning, if you're in New York, wherever you, if you got friends, family, colleagues in West Virginia, you call them and tell them, make sure you're registered to vote today. Let's turn out, show up, show out, show everybody what we got, because it's our time. All right now. So, Rudy, you were telling people about this farm bill, and you were telling people the absurdity of this jobs requirement. Now, when I was researching, I understood that there is that this farm bill somebody wrote delivers a knockout punch to the tiny but mighty programs. Tell people what the tiny but mighty programs are.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, the food programs, which is 80% of the total $900 billion. Okay.
Yes.
And the way that the SNAP and would make some huge changes to them in their nutrition programs, to the tune of $463 million over a 10-year, and because the states are the one that administer these programs. Supposedly, they would save $5 billion over a decade.
And Rudy, I understand that they're talking about doing some new evil stuff, like if you are a recipient of SNAP or food stamps, that they're going to start limiting the number of months you can get it. Like somehow you don't eat, you know, in the other months. That they're going to start, you know, putting limitations on how long you can get any kind of help. Like somehow you're going to magically be fed. Tell us more about this.
Well, you know, they put in restrictions such as we mentioned before, you know, the work requirement.
Yes.
That if you're an able-bodied person, the ages of, I believe, 19 to 55 or something to that degree, that they then you have to go out looking for work in an area in which most places, I mean, when you are on food stamps, that means you can't get work. Okay. Otherwise, why would you do that? Unless you work for Walmart. Walmart has about 80%. I mean, 60. About 60% of food stamps go to
the working poor.
No, to Walmart.
To Walmart.
Walmart. Walmart is this their biggest market? Okay. Walmart gets about 60% of the food stamp, because people with their big stores, you know, people redeem their
food
stamp. Okay.
Yes.
So I was on a committee in which Walmart and others such as that were a part of, and they were very supportive of the food stamp program. But they, you know, the irony was the fact that they had a vested interest in it.
Right.
Okay. So it is really, really, you know, so insidious in terms of how this thing is working, you know. And so we are we are very concerned about how it is that it's going to come out, because, like I said, the Democrats are not buying any of this. You know, Jim McGovern, Collins Peterson, who is a ranking member out of Minnesota, and Jim McGovern, Massachusetts, have all the stalwarts in trying to maintain the integrity of the Farm Bill. The other thing is that the likelihood that if the Democrats don't go along with it, the Republicans don't have sufficient votes to be able to pass this bill. So we're still working on it. I mean, we got letters of sign-on letters that are on online that we have sent to our elected
officials. How do people get those sign-on letters? Tell people how they can participate, because my audience loves to do things. They like to make a difference.
Very good. The place to go is to the Mothership, which is the Rural Coalition. It's ruralco.org.
Ruralco.org.
Yes.
Okay.
That's on the web, and there's information with regard to the Farm Bill. It outlines the things. We have a program which we are very concerned about, which is Section 2501. It's the outreach and advocacy piece, which allows capacity development for small community-based organizations to help small producers. And so we are asking that the Congress support the funding of this. It's a $10 million for this program. And that helps us, organizations such as the Rural Coalition, ourselves, as well as other groups around the country, for the what is called historically discriminated farmers and ranchers, or socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers under the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. That's where the definition comes from. So that is something that we would love to have your folks who are on the radio to be able to, because this is a part of the whole in terms of the Farm Bill. We don't have a lot of we have a very modest amount of money that comes to those community-based organizations. And without that, it's very difficult to function, because we rely almost entirely on volunteers and people of goodwill who have some sense in terms of rural America. I mean, you know, we are constantly at the bottom of the deck ever since I've been involved in agriculture, which is a lifetime.
Right.
I'm 70 years old, so, you know, I've been doing this since I was a kid.
You're amazing, Rudy. And, you know, and you've done so much great leadership. You know, and I know your buddy who introduced us to each other, Joel Siegel, would also, you know, Joel, you know, when I'm listening to some of this, it sounds like Reagan, right? It's you know, it's Clinton back, you know, in the 90s. It's Reagan back in the 80s. You know, when he gave his little speech, he had the nerve to talk about, remember, everyone, this executive order, unlike his other executive orders, unlike President Trump's other executive orders, was not done in public. He did not give a public, you know, speech and have people all around him publicly signing this, because he knows it's wrong. He had to do it in the, you know, in the behind the doors to issue this evil executive order, so much so that most of the media has missed it and has not been telling you, my listeners, about this executive order that's going to try to impose, you know, work requirements on people getting Medicaid, and people receiving, you know, food stamps, and people receiving other kinds of, you know, help that we need to give in this society. You know, it's so, Joel, when you heard about this and you heard him talking, you know, later on when he was speaking and he was defending what he had done, he was talking about welfare dependency. He's trying to stop welfare dependency. He's trying to stop welfare, when we know that food stamps and Medicaid has nothing to do with welfare. And he's just making this up and equating all of these things together. What were some of your thoughts, Joel?
You know, when I was in my 20s, I was a professional musician. I used to play a song called "You Dropped the Bomb on Me." It's by
I know that song. Used to dance to that song.
I remember the band leader, I started playing a bunch of Stanley Clark and jazz licks. He said, "Joel, stay in the pocket and just play it like the song." You know, I said, "Okay." Well, you know, guess what? You know, he did drop a bomb. He dropped it on the poor, okay? And he, a few weeks before he bombed Syria, he dropped this bomb. He said, if there's an executive order, any person who receives federal assistance in housing, Medicaid, or SNAP, like, you know, food stamps, they're adding a work requirement. Well, first of all, the majority of people who are on Medicaid are already working. So this is, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, and majority are white women with children. So the one thing that's not included, and why everyone's got to be cynical about this in terms of motivation, where's the provision for child care?
Right.
You can't find a job without child care, so there's no provisions for child care. So that makes it, to me, racist and pandering to his white nationalist base, Trump. Number two, Rudy said, well, what jobs are they going to get? So I would say that Trump didn't go far enough. What he should have done was introduce Representative John Conyers, H.R. 1000. I'm the co-author of that bill with some of his staff and about 50 organizations, where any person in America who really wanted a job at a livable wage or training would be able to get a job. Well, guess what?
And we're going to talk about that when we come back, because let's talk about what the real solutions are. And everybody, listen to me. We can make a difference here. None of this is permanent. All of this is proposed stuff. So everybody, don't you dare touch that dial, because we're going to be right back with Igniting Change and the ways that you can help.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS, 95.9 FM.
I'm Doug Parrish. Latest from News1.com, brought to you in part by the Humane Society. Shelter pets are amazing pets, and the only way to find out is to meet one. Visit the shelterpetproject.org today. Well, Metro says red line trains are no longer single tracking, but there may still be residual delays following a smoke in the tunnel incident at the Farragut North station. Metro says arcing on the tracks caused sparks, which then led to heavy smoke. At one point earlier this morning, red line service was suspended. Well, D.C. police officers are now being required to take a course on race relations. Washington Post reports the new city program aims to teach officers about race relations and how to counter bias in policing. Police Chief Peter Newsham says he hopes to have all 3,800 officers complete the course by the end of this year. This news brought to you in part by Unbound.org. There are children across the world who lack the privilege of going to school. Change the story at Unbound.org. I'm Doug Parrish. When you're looking for news for Black America, go to News1.com.
All right, now, welcome back to Igniting Change. We are talking about Trump's new attack on the poor, rural communities, and small farmers. We have two amazing guests with us today. Rudy Arredondo, who is the president, CEO, and founder of the National Latino Farmers and Ranchers Trade Association. And we're talking to our wonderful returning guest, Joel Siegel, who is also the executive director of the North Carolina Climate Change Coalition and a leading voice in the North Carolina Poor People's Campaign. And we are getting deep into what's going on with this new executive order that's requiring HUD, the Department of Agriculture, and HHS and other federal agencies to come up with, quote, work requirement plans and programs to impose on recipients of welfare, which has suddenly been expanded to include food stamps and Medicaid, which is ridiculous, because we know Medicaid is a medical assistance to those who are too poor to be able to afford a doctor. And many people's lives depend depend on Medicaid, including people who are receiving supplemental insurance because they're unable to work. And so none of this is making sense. It's like a non sequitur. But I also want to say to our audience that if you have questions for Joel and for Rudy, you can call us at 800-450-7876. Once again, you can call us with questions or comments, short ones that is, at 800-450-7876. So we were just talking. Let's understand more about, what these kinds of new requirements and what these cuts will mean. You know, when you were describing, Rudy, this outreach and how, you know, this would be, you know, that about, you know, Section 2501, the outreach, for small producers, you know, that this is just a $10 million program. People understand that this is 10 millions out of trillions of dollars, right? That constitute our national economy, in how much these programs that they're trying to cut, how much they do and help farmers and help, you know, small farmers and people who live in rural communities. I saw that they actually want to zero out the energy assistance program. What is that about, Rudy?
Well, that's about, once again, it's war on the poor.
Wow.
Those that are less likely. I mean, this administration in 1 year has been the most destructive of any administration. I've been in Washington since 1974.
Wow.
And I have never seen such a devastating agenda that is completely devoid of humanity.
Wow.
And caring for your fellow human being.
And Rudy, I'm looking at the list. They want to, for rural development, they want to go from rural micro entrepreneur assistance program. They want to take it from the 2014 Farm Bill had $15 million in it. They want to take it for the 2018 bill to $0. For the value-added producer grants program, they want to take it from $63 million to $0. The Rural Energy Program for America, they want to take it from $250 million to $0. They want to take the Farmers Market and local food production program. Okay, all of you who go to those farmer markets, and we love to go to them because they have those great, not only great produce, but they also are so inexpensive and they make it possible for us to live healthy in communities that don't even have supermarkets where they have these great farmers markets. They're talking about taking that program from $150 million to $0. They're talking about taking the National Organic Certification Cost Share Program from $58 million to $0. They're talking about taking the Risk Management Education Partnership Program from $17 million to $0. This is what we're talking about, why it's so, so dangerous. We have a Ms. Joyce on the phone. Ms. Joyce, do you have a question for our guests?
Yes, I have a question. Well, not a question so much. I have a comment on you were stating earlier about how to replace the statue that they put down in New York.
Yes.
And I think that the person that they should put up is Henrietta Lack.
Oh.
Henrietta Lack was, remember her?
Yes.
Her sales, and they're still generating to this day, and her cells are the ones that help them to deal with ovarian cancer and some of the female problems, women's problems with their reproductive system. And so I think if they're going to replace that statue, it should be replaced with Henrietta Lack.
That's a great idea, and thank you, Joyce, for that. And I also think that, you know, John Hopkins, who did that experiment on her and has never paid the family, ought to pay him some money, don't you think?
I truly think so.
All right. Well, thank you, Joyce, for that comment. We welcome your call. Thank you so, so much.
Love you, big sister.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. So I want to, get back to what is happening, Rudy. When you hear all those kind of cuts, tell people practically what this means for their lives. Because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, this is going to happen to somebody else. You know, somebody who isn't me, you know, and they don't realize how wide ranging these cuts would be and how devastating these work requirements would be to people who they think is somebody else.
Well, as I said, cutting all those programs is what is possible for folks to remain in rural America, and remain on the even as marginalized as those folks are.
Yes,
you know it's being able to sustain them in a modest way that they're able to sustain. I mean, one of the other things that you know, they have this harvest box that they're proposing.
Yes.
Which is supposed to be self-stable. Well, guess what? There's nothing more than processed food, cans, okay? There's these are focused towards those corporations that have the ability to process food to be able to sell them to or to provide them to low-income people. They said, if we didn't have enough issues in terms of processed food issues in terms of our health-wise, the health of our folks is very important. And, you know, the other thing which you mentioned, you know, the farmer's market.
Yes.
You know, we happen to have one in the Washington, D.C. area.
Exactly.
You know, we have the only farmer's market in the region, as far as I know, that has Latino farmers actually being able to sell their product in an urban market. They come in from Westmoreland County in Southern Virginia. There's four of them. And we have had a 10-year relationship now with the University of the District of Columbia in terms of the farmers market. And we open on May the 5th, which is on a Saturday, at the corner of Connecticut and Yuma. And you will see our farmers bringing in whatever produce they bring in.
Yes.
Fresh produce. So everybody's welcome to come. And we're open from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m.
Tell people again the location and give them that time again, because our farmer markets are fabulous.
We were 2 years ago, we were voted the best farmers market in the city.
Awesome.
And that's located at Connecticut and Yuma. It's at the corner of Yuma, just right in front of the David A. Clark Law School.
Yes.
At UDC. And we're open from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. in the afternoon every Saturday until November 24th, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
That is so awesome. And Joel, I'm just so shocked every time I read about what they want to do to SNAP. I mean, they're really talking about forcing mothers and fathers who care for children to work hours, which would mean that their children would be abandoned, would not be fed, would not be cared for. They are talking about, posing these limits where people would only get, 3 months of, food stamps. I don't know how they're going to eat and live in the interim. And they're including homeless people in this, category of people who are going to be required to somehow magically find a job. What makes me upset, Joel, about this is, isn't this the president that ran talking about he was going to do this great infrastructure bill to create jobs? And all of a sudden, all we got is this nonsense of throwing people off of public benefits. And everybody out there, do you understand why they're doing this? It's not because they, quote, care about welfare. It's because they passed the darn tax bill and gave all those cuts to the wealthy. So because they took away tax impositions on the wealthy, they're going to now make up for that by cutting Medicaid and food stamps. Joel, tell us more.
Well, you're dropping the knowledge you always do. People think the tax cut was $1.5 trillion. It was $2.3 trillion.
Okay? Wow.
I want you to think about this now. $2.3 trillion tax cut. So what you're seeing is all these cuts, whether, you know, it's an assistance for energy for Puerto Rico or cutting food stamps, the vouchers. It's in order to ensure that you don't have to do tax increases on the local level or on the state level, because that's usually what happens under GOP administrations or whether it's, you know, president, executive office, or in the Congress. The local, you know, taxes go way up and state taxes go up. So they're getting really kind of crazy. But this is a form of structural violence.
Yes.
Doesn't have to necessarily be a gun or a knife. Structural violence can also be with whether or not you're going to eat, whether or not you get health care. And you know, first of all, with that, let's say they didn't do that $2.3 trillion tax cuts. There could have been 1 million jobs for teachers, 1 million for teachers. There could have been over 6 million jobs in infrastructure if they didn't do that $2.3 trillion tax cut. That would have been a better way to go about it. I do want to give a shout out to my folks all across the country, but especially North Carolina with the Poor People's Campaign.
Yes. Thank you, Reverend William Barber.
Thank you, William Barber.
Yes.
I'm on the coordinating committee of one of the very blessed to be on the coordinating committee of the North Carolina State Poor People's Campaign. I'm one of the tri directors political education campaign. This, what you're talking about, is priority, you know, number one for this campaign. And the idea is that we're all going to have to work together. If you work on ecological devastation, if you're working on the war economy or racism or poverty, we can't reverse all this unless we as a people work together and fight all these issues together. Black, brown, white, you know, gay, straight, doesn't matter. It's all about, you know, ending poverty. But what I want to say is that if this was ever a time for your listening audience to do what you talk about, Barbara, all the time, is to get out and vote and to start registering to vote. Because when people say that Trump may not get reelected again, I don't believe that. I lived through two terms of Ronald Reagan. I worked with two terms in the Congress with Bush. We got to register to vote. Our vote matters. But this is sheer cruelty. I'd say this is, I have never seen a crueler president than Trump. But Trump is a manifestation of the Republicans in the House, the GOP, in the House, in the Senate. He's just doing what they've wanted to do and what they've been doing from the time Reagan called a black woman welfare queens and said unemployed black men were bucks. Remember that?
And all just, that nonsense. And Ben Carson talking about, you know, folks living too nicely in public housing and all that nonsense. But he's going to spend $31,000 on a table. But we're going to talk more when we come back. And we got a guest, Dr. Ed, who wants to ask us a question. So we'll be right back. Don't you dare touch that dial, because you want to know about what's going on. Igniting Change.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOL at 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This WOL traffic and weather update brought to you by Unbound.org. Accident was on the inner loop of the Beltway after University Boulevard before New Hampshire Avenue. Cleared up. Everything is now open. That delay is easing up pretty nicely. They're working on the Southeast-Southwest Freeway, southbound on 395 for the westbound freeway, heading toward the 14th Street Bridge in that direction. Between the 3rd Street Tunnel and 6th and 7th Street, the right lane is closed right now, causing a bit of a backup. 295 northbound still pretty slow, from Pennsylvania Avenue to East Capitol Street. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world. It'll change your own. Unbound.org. Now your WOL weather forecast for today. Cloudy, high near 50. Partly cloudy overnight, down to 38. Tomorrow, sunny day and turning a bit milder. A high tomorrow near 64 degrees. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM. WOL, where information is power.
Right now, we're back and we're talking about Trump's attack on the poor. Think about it, everybody. They gave a tax bill. They passed it so that millionaires, billionaires can make even more billions and millions of dollars and gave crumbs to the, quote, middle class. And now, in order to deal with the deficit, the $1 trillion deficit that's being created by this tax bill, they want to cut the poor. They want to make sure that the poor and the elderly and the homeless and, you know, working, the working poor and others cannot have their food stamps or Medicaid, quote, without finding a job that doesn't exist. So they're going to cut these programs, go after the weakest people, the neediest people in our society in order to support billionaires. So we want to, you know, really talk about that on this show as we're coming to our final segment. And Dr. Ed, I understand you have a question for us.
Yes, Barbara online. How are you doing? Very good. I'm a scientist retired from NASA, got a space flight center, and my church is I'm an African American Episcopal church. We have nearly 16,000 members in my church, and I want to give you a warning. Our nation is in crisis. Our system was sabotaged and hacked by a foreign power. This man is an evil man. We don't know what he is. He's a demagogue, you know, and even the scientists and people who know this man is a demagogue. And our people have power. One of the things they don't want us to do, and that is to vote. And you said just a few minutes ago, Bob, on that, our voting has its power.
Yes.
The thing here is, if we don't stand up in these swing states, this man could be voted right back in here again.
Uh-oh.
But there's a blue wave coming across the nation right now. But all of our people have to stand up and vote. But let me warn you, in these swing states, you have to call them up, get on the phone and call them up. If you register to vote in one of those states, don't vote absentee. Do not do this absentee vote because it may not get counted. But let me give you a science.
Listen, Dr. Ed, thank you for your commentary because we got to get back to our guests. And thank you so much because you're right. And I want to, you're right on, you know, telling everybody they should vote. Listen, if you're not registered to vote, you can go online to eac.gov, eac.gov. And you can register online in any state in the country. And it will, that's the federal registration form. Be sure to use it at eac.gov. We also want to, you know, really, you know, a lot of states have their own websites and their own online state portals. Use those, you know, make sure that you're registered to vote. I don't necessarily agree about absentee ballots because it depends on, you know, so many other things, what state you're in, etc. But let me get back to our guests because we've been covering a lot of things. Rudy, how do people get in touch with you? How do they follow the great work that you're doing? And, you know, tell people how to do that.
Okay, we have a we're on Facebook. And that's the National Latino Farmers and Ranchers Trade Association. And I put a lot of this information that I'm sharing with you at this time, but it's much more in depth on that page. And the other is, you know, we're also on Twitter. And that's at NLFRTA, which is the acronym for National Latino Farmers and Ranchers Trade Association. And we also have, you know, we also put a lot of information on there. So those two things. The other is that we do have a website, and we're, you know, as it's very difficult to keep a web page because, you know, we rely on volunteers and
yes.
And we're going to be trying to get some volunteers to keep it up. But this www.nlfrta, that's www.nlfrta.org.
Excellent. Okay? Excellent.
And, you know, right now we're having issues. Our phones are down, but our phones is 202-628-8833.
Excellent.
And we should get a text in the next day or so.
Excellent. I'm so excited about that, and I'm so excited that people will be able to, you know, to use those resources. And thank you for all the leadership you do. What is your major point that you want everyone to get out of today's show? Because people are out there saying, what can I do? I want to know more. And I want our audience to know that I'm going to make sure that we post a couple of really excellent articles about the Farm Bill, about this, quote, welfare, you know, work requirement, all this nonsense that they're trying to do to our folks. But we want to make sure more than anything, when I say our folks, I mean everybody, because most people forget the majority of America's poor are white, and they're of all races and of all ages. So I want to, you know, just get that across. So, you know, what is your word?
What is important is what you're promoting, which is stay engaged. It is very, very important to cast your vote and keep your local officials accountable.
Yes.
And during the recess, for those, especially the federal officials, but even the state, it's important that you make the effort to go visit them face to face. There is nothing like a face to face to let them know that you care and that you're engaged and you are looking in terms of what it is that they're doing. That's really, really important.
Thank you. And, you know, and Joel, you know, how do people get in touch with you?
Like, you know what? It's best if they either email me at Joel, J-O-E-L, dot R, as in Ross, dot Siegel, S-E-G-A-L, at gmail.com. Or you know what? You can call me, 571-344-1518. And, the Poor People's Campaign now is in 42 states,
yes,
36 countries. This is probably one of the most serious progressive political campaigns for economic justice and social justice, I think, since the Martin King 1960s movement and the anti-Vietnam War movement. And in terms of what people can do now, I'll just say two things. Number one, by any peaceful means necessary, we cannot allow any of this legislation.
Right.
Whether it's food stamps, whether it's Medicaid. I learned this from this great mentor named Barbara Onwine.
You
taught me this. Cutting vouchers for affordable housing. Is your tactics got to match the tactics of the other side. This is a democracy. So the first thing is meet with your elected official and speak to the legislative assistant that handles Medicaid or that handles housing, and call them, meet with them, tell them that you're against it. People got to understand the power that they have. Every member of Congress wants to be reelected, but we don't utilize our democracy. Number two, I can just certainly tell you that one of the things that I will be advocating and many others is we're going to may have to bring busloads of people, and I'm just saying this is just what Joel Siegel is saying, right, is busloads of people into the Congress, going into the halls, doing peaceful, nonviolent, civil disobedience, you know, lobbying, educating, and not allowing one of these bills to pass.
Exactly.
If one bill passed, then the rest of them will pass. This is what I call economic fascism. This is white nationalism. That's all this is. It's racism. It's economic fascism, and we can't stop it. And I'll close by saying we are fighting, as Martin Luther King would say, for the soul of America. And if we're going to do that, let's get, if it's millions of people, thousands of people, We got to get engaged in our democracy and fight back for God and for what's right. This is wrong. This is evil. There's moderate Republicans who are against this, okay?
Yes.
All right. Most of the people don't want these cuts. They think this is crazy. It's immoral.
And it's wrong, and you know, and we cannot allow this to happen. We got to shape this nation into our view of what a just nation should look like. Thank you to my amazing guests, to Rudy Arredondo, to the mighty Joe Siegel. Also, thank you so much. You are the real game changers of this society. You are doing the hard work. We really appreciate all of your amazing work. Pennsylvanians, today is your last day to register to vote for your upcoming primary. Pennsylvania, today is your last day to register to vote for your upcoming primary. Get your vote on. Be vote ready. Do this thing. And make sure that you are ready to vote. Thank you, Senator Hughes, for putting out that note, because we need to do that. Senator Hughes of Pennsylvania, thank you for reminding everyone. I also want to make sure that everybody's aware that, yes, we heard you, Ben Carson, that nonsense of telling the black woman that she needed to get married if she wanted to get out of poverty. Everybody, that's untrue. Every study that's been done shows that marriage does not get you out of poverty. That's what we call the working poor. The working poor is not just a single person. It's households of working people who just don't make enough in this society. We can make a difference. I want to thank my amazing guests. Thank you again. Rudy, you got to come back on.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate it. Thank you for doing this. I love you. Enjoy your work and look forward to continue to work with you.
Well, I'm so glad that we're able to work on the National Commission for Voter Justice. Thank you, Joel Siegel.
I'm honored to be always on your show, and I'm honored to be working with Rudy Arredondo and so many advocates and activists across the country to introduce America's first historic
Food
for All bill to end hunger forever. This is going to be
right. Well, we'll be back next week. Yes, and we'll be back next week. Thank you all for listening to Igniting Change.
Thank you.